This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us here on the show is a good friend of ours. He's a great basketball mind. You watch him on the NBA on TNT as a reporter. He also is a host on NBA TV. Our friend, Jared Greenberg. Jared, good morning.
Damon, how are you?
There's no D at the end there, just Damon.
Yeah, you know, it actually kind of rolled out there. I didn't mean for that to happen. Apologize for that. Sir, before we begin, may I ask you a question?
You may.
I need a ruling on something.
Okay.
I was last night very tempted to submit my first ever submission to the esteemed hashtag TweetThatMeat. But I was unsure if my meat would qualify. Can I get a ruling on a specific type of meat that
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
The
committee will hear your comments.
Do you accept meatloaf for Tweet That Meat?
Was it made on a grill or in an oven?
Oh, ooh, I see where you're going with this. It was definitely an oven.
So I don't want to ever discourage you from sharing your meat with the world, okay?
Yeah.
I want you to be able to be proud of the meat that you cook, and I love meatloaf. I really, really... Meatloaf
yeah.
is something that I think is highly underrated, great comfort food.
Agreed.
Very... Yeah. A moist meatloaf and mashed potatoes, just a delicious, delicious meal. But
yes.
the whole promotion really is based on what you're doing on the grill outside because we're trying to get people outdoors and kind of get in their backyard in vacation mode, summer mode.
And so. Tweet That Grill doesn't roll off the tongue the same way.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to make this exclusive to meat eaters only, so I have been showing that some seafood or veggies on the grill can work
right.
as well. But, yeah, largely it's grilled meats.
I got you. Okay, I'm glad. See, I didn't want to be crucified by your audience, your followers.
Well, you wouldn't have been. I highly encourage you. Maybe you can use the hashtag Tweet That Loaf.
Tweet That Loaf. Ooh, maybe I could start that one. That's a good one. My first picture. Never mind. I was going to put a picture of Mraz up there, but that's all right.
So let me ask you about The Last Dance. I largely enjoyed it, but there were
You watched.
Yeah, I watched a lot. I watched intently. I watched live. I watched with, you know, my head thinking about how I viewed this all and how I processed it. And we talked a lot about it over the last 5 weeks. I Roger. Liked it. I was engaged, but there was a lot that left me wanting. I'm wondering if you felt the same way.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think that we have to be careful on these type of things because when you get things that are new, I think you get a little greedy. So I have to temper that. I am, you know, it's weird to say this, but I am much like you in that, you know, we have these obviously very sophisticated minds of ours. And once those creative juices get flowing, you're wondering what else there is. And I also think, too, like, you know, and I think the ratings tell the story on this. I don't know how much you've gotten into gone over the ratings. But to me, when you're talking about 8.5 million people watching per night, what that's telling me as someone who has understood what ratings for NBA games mean is that it wasn't just people like you and me who live and die with the NBA and people who are just avid sports fans. It tells me that 8.5 million people are looking for something to watch, right? And some of the things that you and I probably would have liked them to go a little deeper into or explore wouldn't have appealed to 8.5 million people for five straight weeks.
I think that's a fair analysis. I think that's absolutely fair. And as you just noted, it did its job. Not only was it a communal sporting event for America, it made people feel good. It made people wistful and nostalgic. Michael obviously does that for a lot of people. I guess my big criticism was it was so heavy-handed in protecting Michael's version of events. And they did almost nothing to counter what Michael's version was. Did that bother you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue, listen, I went in skeptical going in, knowing that Michael was an executive producer. And I have said, I don't remember if you and I talked years ago. It really bothered me that the Kevin Durant documentary that came out, it was a one-time, I think it was a Showtime deal. It bothered me that he was, an executive producer on it. And anytime somebody is an executive producer on something, it's really tough to call it a documentary, as has been discussed over the last few weeks. But I was surprised with that knowledge that they did go into some things like how tough of a teammate he was. Like, I was wondering if I would have to come out of this saying, well, where was that conversation? So, you know, I thought that they may have, even though maybe they just kind of breezed over it, I was impressed that they went over the fact that he gave Steve Kerr a black eye, that he got into fights with teammates, that he picked on Scotty Burrell. I mean, you could have come out of this looking at Michael Jordan as a bully if you didn't accept his explanation for justifying and validating why he felt he needed to be like that. So I was impressed with that. So there was parts of it that I think certainly could have challenged him, no doubt. The one thing that I was a little wanted more of, and you finally got in the last episode, and the one thing I wish we had more of, was why Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the team, got let off the hook so much for just passing the buck on to his general manager for being the villain. I mean, they clearly took a documentary and found their villain and sensationalized the crap out of that angle from episode 1 through episode 10. And only at the end did we sprinkle in a little bit of, oh yeah, the billion-dollar owner might have had the authority and the wallet and the checkbook to say, no, I can make Phil Jackson stay and I can find a way to keep Michael Jordan, but I didn't do it.
Totally right. Somehow Jerry Reinsdorf gets off the hook, ultimately having control over whatever happened in the future. And you're absolutely right. My thought, my counter on the quote-unquote criticism of him as a tough teammate is that I didn't find that surprising because it fits his narrative of himself. I was teammate.
Yeah.
I was tough on those guys, but we won and see, you know, I'm validated. And I don't think he is ever going to shy away from I was mean to people because I won and I had to be mean to people. So it just was a self-fulfilling prophecy in doing that, I think, for Michael to show that part of himself.
And that was part of it that wasn't a surprise to most watching, I don't think. I think, again, going back to the 8.5 million people who are watching, probably a large portion of those had not really ever studied or cared to know the behind the scenes. So that was kind of revealing to them. But to you and me, I mean, you know, I'd always heard, and I had worked with Steve Kerr for a number of years before he joined the Warriors, who's a teammate of ours over at Turner Sports. So I'd heard a lot of these stories, and it wasn't surprising to me at all. And you know, part of it, I think, comes with the territory. I mean, we've kind of, and you and I have talked about this in the last couple of months. We've gone over it with Kobe a little bit too, right? I mean, we look at some of the all-time greats, and this is kind of a character trait of what has fueled them to become great, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent.
Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT, NBA TV, joins us here on the show. I generally hate the Jordan versus LeBron debate. It's been beaten over people's head forever. I tend to like to engage in things that haven't been beaten into people's head forever. But I did come out of this documentary going, you know, this is a good reminder of why Michael is the GOAT. Now, some people have pushed up against that. Did this at all reassert in your mind Michael's position atop the hierarchy?
No. I mean, I feel confident about Michael being the greatest of all time. I'm with you in that I'm kind of sick of the argument, but at the same time, I'm okay with entertaining the argument because I think LeBron, and I also think Kareem needs to be in this conversation too. I don't want to forget him. I think that they have done enough in their career, more than enough in their career, to be present in this conversation. But to me, you know, the one thing that really stood out to me, and I've said this in the past, and I've almost felt like I'm too young to constantly make this argument, so I've kind of stayed away from it. But I'll you know, go into it a little bit now if you're cool with it, is that as much as they pressed home, and I've seen the tweets in the subsequent days about all of the Hall of Famers that Michael Jordan beat to win his six titles, the thing that stood out to me in watching this over again was the lack of talent behind those Hall of Famers. And I don't mean to diminish any of these teams, and I don't mean to take shots, but like the team that, if you're a defender of LeBron James, to me, what you should have taken out of this was, yeah, he beat Charles Barkley, but like Dan Majerle or Kevin Johnson was their second best player. Like, look at the teams LeBron has had to go.
They were
up
not super teams
the
back then. The 90s
no.
did not have super teams.
No, but even the super, forget about the super teams. Think about the first championship LeBron lost. He lost to the San Antonio Spurs, right? Like, and I get that the Mavericks are always going to be a bad mark on the LeBron resume, so whatever. But losing to the Spurs again as a member of the Heat, and then to lose against the Warriors, I mean, Michael Jordan was the Warriors, right? He never had to go up against those type of teams. So for me, yes, he had to go against Karl Malone and John Stockton and Gary Payton, and had to go against Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler. But come on. I mean, those teams in today's era would have gotten swept in the finals by almost any one of the champions that have won titles over the last decade.
It's a great point. It's as though the great teams now are greater than ever before because so much talent has accumulated in those top teams. And back then, I mean, they made a big deal out of the Indiana Pacers in 1998, taking them to seven games. And people said, boy, that's a great team. They had one Hall of Famer on there, Reggie Miller.
Right.
One.
Right.
I mean, everybody, it's a good team. The Davis boys were really good. And Chris Mullin, I mean, Chris Mullin's a Hall of Famer, but by that point in his career, he's basically
Mark
a bench.
Mark Jackson's old.
Yeah, and Rick Smits, and it's a good team, but it's not a great, they never won an NBA championship. They went to one NBA finals, and that was the greatest push that the Bulls ever got, was from a team that never won an NBA championship. I think you're right. I think LeBron's win over a 73-victory Warriors team is a greater championship than any of the six that Michael won.
Oh, no question. And the circumstance, right? Like, and listen, you could blame LeBron for digging the hole that they got into, which I think is fair. But I will always argue, and again, I believe Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. But I think the strongest argument you can make on the side of LeBron is that not only did he beat the team that was the greatest regular season team in NBA history, but he did it after going down 3-1, coming all the way back, and then having to win game 7 in a building that at the time was the loudest and toughest building to win as a road team in the NBA. And to do that, and the numbers and stats he put up during that series were just mind-boggling. And again, he dug that hole, but to come out of it, and all the circumstances, and all the Draymond Green stuff, and Andrew Bogut stuff, whatever, he still got it done.
LeBron is really hurt in history that Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, because if KD goes anywhere else, LeBron likely has one or two more titles in Cleveland. And if he has two or three championships there to combine with two in Miami, so he's got four or five, and has the win over the 73-win Warrior squad, you know, it's a much closer argument with him and Michael.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think, too, you know, in the next coming years, and it's going to take a while, and losing whatever it was, 17, 19 games this year is going to hurt. But, like, you know, if LeBron becomes the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, too, and, you know, top 10 in what, assists and close and rebounds, like, it's a much more compelling argument now. Maybe we could talk about longevity, but it's not like LeBron has been a stat compiler. It's not like, you know, he's Kevin Willis or even, you know, with all due respect, Vince Carter, who's just kind of hanging on at the end of his career and putting up numbers, you know, getting a couple of numbers here and there. Like, he's leading his team to the best record in basketball in year 17 in the NBA. I mean, it's pretty remartable.
I could do this for another hour and a half, man. This is great stuff. Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT.
I got nothing else going on.
NBA TV. Unfortunately, we only got 21 minutes left in our hour, left in our show today, but I think we should do this again soon to talk about the return of basketball.
Call me when you get off the air. We'll just keep doing that.
Okay. Thanks, bud.
I got nothing else to do.
Okay. Jared Greenberg joining us this morning here on the show from the NBA on TNT and from Turner Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.